Little League. When I was 10, playing baseball for one of those leagues where the teams are sponsored by banks and beer distributors, and the colors seem repetitively Celtic green, though not, I think, some sly symbolic invocation of ancestral pride, but simply a bright and pretty color. Our pitcher, Bobby, I will call him, southpaw, black, his fastball tailing away from so much right-handedness, was good. And we were in first place at that time, 66. All that mattered, pitcher and catcher bound, not just by effort or desire, but linked in an orbit of speed and motion, a joy that moved, untroubled by the world, naive, immediate. And one night I invited Bobby over to my house, my neat little segregated neighborhood, with Jews and Catholics and depressed atheists you could identify by the hazard of their uncut lawns, as though the landscape were a kind of metaphysic. And I recall the blend of excitement and unease I felt, a tension that went almost unnoted when he and his mother, who was somewhat large and old and nearly gray, pulled up in what must have been a car from the 40s, the lines of its hood and fenders and roof all beautifully rounded. And though I can't imagine now what it must have been like for him, just 11 and black, with all those white people standing at the door and smiling, my mother, my sister, me, one thread worn azalea on each side of the stoop, the front grass deep in oak tuff and maple, still bright from recent falling. I think we were happy, glad to be there, shy, open, as boys are or can be, uncluttered. And we spent the night flipping baseball cards, matching and mismatching sides as called, the faces poised at the edge of action, pitchers in mid-windup, batters peering out at us as though we hurried, dangerously spinning toward them, the next day passing unmindful and content and curious, the world united in its flush and blossom. Until a few weeks later, someone complained to the league office that Bobby, it seemed, was born 3 days too late or early, and according to their calculations, Red Mars casting its martial shadow across the path of Venus, he was too old to play in the minors. So they moved him forcibly mid-season by rule and fiat to another team, which is when I learned what laws were made to do to those who hadn't made them. And the world became in a day more dense and weighted, as though summer had thickened into a shadow no one could pass through. After that, after the tears and objections, the vague tribunal of league officials, we would go, almost the whole team at first, the Sadowskis and Kramers and Engelharts and Jones, to watch Bobby play, first baseman now, as the coach's son was a pitcher, but everything just went away. Disappeared, it seemed, into the oncoming heat of summer, the season's end, the way things can and do sometimes for good, though who can hardly tell for sure. And for me, it all became a kind of vague regret and choler in the climax of August, a scar on a part of the body you cannot see unless you try to. Until years later, in high school, when we met again, blacks, whites, Bobby, me, recognizable, glad, parked in our cars by the Great South Bay, playing Clapton and Hendrix and Herbie Hancock on our 8-tracks, smoking dope and drinking and listening to Ralph Rivera tell us all about this book by a guy named Castaneda who he had not read, and how he'd learned the arts, Ralph said, passing the joint to the person beside him, of another world, where a man might forget his body and rise unfettered into freedom and power, accompanied, depending on the character of his soul, the depth of his wisdom by the dark, shimmering, light-filled, knowing body of the crow.